Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal and QR Calgary and More Than Money. Should the government... No, I'm not even going to go there yet. I'm not going to go there yet. That was way too fast.
You started with the government.
Yeah, that was way too fast. I was about to rage.
Okay.
There has been another study, a panel done, right? And we're looking at this topic of aging and the impacts of aging. And I would say most people want to age in home as long as they can. Would that be a fair statement?
Fair statement. National Seniors Council would serve as the expert panel. Yeah. They're supported by the Minister of Seniors and Minister of Health. And they're looking at this expert panel on supporting Canadians aging at home. And they've come up with 20 recommendations.
Okay.
Now, we're not going to go through all 20.
Right.
If you want this information, feel free to reach out to us. We'll send the full report, even the executive summary. We can give that out to you. They're looking for availability, accessibility, affordability, and accountability. The four A's is what they start off with. But I want to talk about one piece with you, Dave.
Okay.
You and I have had conversations about this. We are at the ground level of what people are planning for. So when we talk to them, our clients, viewers and listeners of this show, we ask them about their plans of the future, especially when it comes to healthcare as they age. The lion's share says, I want to age at home.
Yeah.
There is a small percentage saying, put me in a home.
Okay, let's talk about that. I agree with you right now. Yes.
Okay.
I think that stat holds up.
However, the structure of home care, the accessibility and the programs that are available are very challenging to maneuver from a provincial basis. And there is no real good program from a federal perspective to encourage, which is a lot cheaper for the tax base, if people can age in place, then putting them in a home and putting it on the back of the taxpayers, or is it?
Okay. I mean, this is super complicated. We don't want to stray too far off here. But so let's maybe talk about a couple of the recommendations here.
Go for it.
Okay. So one of the things that caught my eye was establish a public national insurance program for home care and support.
Okay. So whenever they say public and national and insurance, they basically mean?
Tax.
Self-insured.
Self-insured by the taxpayer.
We had this conversation before the commercial break about this, that there is no real insurance program from the government.
No, but self-insured. There has been an insurance program, and this is what you and I were talking about off air, right? So there has been an insurance company.
From private companies.
You can or could buy long-term care insurance.
Correct.
Right? And we looked at this for a long period of time.
Correct.
It was generally deemed by most people that we ever raised it to be very expensive. And costs continued to escalate because people were using it, right? And costs were going up.
So expensive, let's define that, because if you speak to the insurance industry, it's a cost to cover the expenses.
Yes.
It's expensive because it's a large dollar premium per month. It wasn't like pennies on the dollar.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't $20 a month, right?
It's almost equivalent to some people's home insurance.
Right.
What caught me by surprise when this whole long-term care insurance was starting to go through is that people were saying, it's the same price as my home insurance. Why would I insure my long-term care?
Right.
What? I don't understand why people would think protecting their home is more important than protecting their healthcare as they age.
Okay.
And we talked about this before. It's because it's today's cost versus tomorrow's cost.
Right.
I'll deal with tomorrow.
Right.
And tomorrow is coming pretty quick from a healthcare perspective.
Well, tomorrow's here for a lot of people, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Right. And every day, tomorrow becomes today, literally with people and their families, right? And we hear more and more in discussion about the real costs of all of this. Now, we can have a long debate about a philosophical debate about how as a society we should view seniors and the support we give them, and that leads into the public health care and all that stuff. I'm not sure that's of huge value, but the reality is that tomorrow's becoming today every single day. And so people need to think a little bit about how they're going to handle this. And to your point, I'm not sure people really give that much thought. I'm healthy today. It's no problem. The first thing that happens is a parent gets ill. Okay. Now, if a parent just passes away, my dad died suddenly of a heart attack in the night. Correct. Very peacefully.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to tell you, the financial impact of that, okay, is very little.
My mother passed away with cancer. It wasn't as long of a disease for her. And so she passed away. And it was relatively, from a financial perspective and settling the estate and so forth, very simple.
Very simple. My mom, your dad increasingly, is facing this longer term issue.
Correct.
Okay. Dementia, Alzheimer's. That's a very different financial proposition, but it's also a very different caregiving proposition.
Correct.
Right? You and I spend a lot of time, personal time, and even time during work, having to support them in terms of their, you know, medical care and appointments.
Yep.
And all the other stuff, right? Retrofitting houses and so on and so forth. This is an issue today.
Correct.
One that I don't think we're well prepared for. The question is, should that be on, is it on the government's back? How are we going to handle this?
Yeah, and that's the one of the biggest arguments about these 20 recommendations is that it kind of leans towards just let the entire country and the taxpayer base pay for all this stuff.
Right.
There, in some people's commentary to me,
mm-hmm.
was, shouldn't a person who needs home care pay for it themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we're not going to go through philosophy behind should the mm-hmm. population take care of a certain group or should they not? But the debate upon it, let me give you an example. Let's say you're an average Calgarian
okay.
with a $700,000 home.
Okay.
And let's assume for a second, clear, no mortgage on it.
Right.
You are living off of Canadian pension plan, old age security, and government income supplement. So you don't have a lot of savings. Let's say you have zero savings.
Okay. And no pension.
And you got a $700,000 home.
Yeah.
Should the government, meaning the taxpayer, pay for your long-term care when you've got $700,000 buried in equity in a home that you're choosing to age in?
Right.
Or should you be able to take that equity out via a reverse mortgage?
Or some function, feature
or some
like that.
Feature like that. Where you physically need the cash to pay for this
right.
and just pay for it yourself.
Right.
And you're going to get a lot of recommendations saying, no, the entire 40 million Canadians should pay for this individual, not the individual itself.
Right. And the healthcare system is under tremendous pressure. You and I stopped doing interviews with the head of the Canadian Medical Association, what, like 8 years ago? Because it was panel after panel after panel
yeah,
after
recommend. We're still investigating it,
right? Yep. So I'm not sure there's a conclusion yet. The trouble I'm having is tomorrow is today, okay? There are recommendations here. If it becomes a public issue, now we have to inflate again the budget for the healthcare system. Is that the most efficient way to handle it?
Correct.
There are assets available. Like, this is a complicated issue.
Do you know there's only two groups that's going to go after if it becomes a national program,
right.
Either it's on the back of the taxpayer
yep.
or it's on the back of the business owner.
Right.
Because the business owner has to pay Canadian pension plan for their employee as well.
Mm-hmm.
They have to top up also for EI.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already in the back of that. So now they're going to have a long-term care program that they have to pay into, or it's going to go in the tax base.
Right.
And if it's going to go in the tax base, is that the best usage when you have, in many people's viewpoints, a lot of equity or assets that are out there that are not being utilized for funding this stuff? Who gets the benefit of it? You literally right now could have 10 rental properties, and if assuming you're not making any positive cash flow on it,
right,
you're breaking even.
Right.
Even if you're in low income, with those properties, you still qualify for government benefits to help you fund your health care when you could be a multimillionaire on the asset side.
Yeah.
And this is part of the problem that many are complaining about. They're saying you cannot be on paper a multimillionaire and still need taxpayers to pay for your health care when you can clearly have a mechanism that can be put in place to pay for it. That's the number one concern is there's a lot of real estate rich individuals.
Yes.
Number two is life insurance. There's a lot of Canadians have life insurance policies that you can, in the United States, you can sell. In Canada, you can't. Maybe that should be explored.
Right, because it's an asset.
Help
right, a permanent
people
life
fund
insurance.
Their own. So this is the argument. It's going to go on for a long time. I think it's going to go on until I need long-term care.
Well, it's going to go on forever is my fear. So people better start planning for what they're going to do.
And we're going to continue talking about planning for all the stuff, because it's going to come out of your pocket one way or another on Tuesday, August 27, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to register for this. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right. Are you dreaming of living abroad, perhaps starting a business abroad? Is that part of the retirement plan? Well, join us after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.